The Lord said, since you are all very learned personalities, whatever you decide, I shall accept. Now, since I assume all of you have been following this class, or maybe not, though, the summary is that King Prataparudra, who was the monarch of Orissa at that time, a powerful king, actually. I was reading a little bit about his history. He held sway over quite a few provinces. Very powerful king, but he was very attached to Lord Chaitanya. And he wanted to see him. It was heart and soul, he wanted to see him. He was very devoted to the Lord. But the Lord's position was that he didn't want to be seen talking to kings because that would compromise. He would be criticized. He felt he would be criticized if he spent time talking with kings. So that's the background. So the devotees, King Prataparudra, going through various associates of Lord Chaitanya, asked them to put a proposal to Lord Chaitanya that somehow or other he could be allowed to have his darshan. And so they were a little reluctant to do that, but nevertheless they made an attempt. And Nityananda had proposed that, it says, out of your mercy, send one of your outward garments to the king. The king would live hoping to see you sometime in the future. So this is an important, believe it or not, an important request, because Nityananda was clever enough to understand that Lord Chaitanya didn't want to be compromised. And so he said, so give him some of your clothing. Because there's not just a tradition, but there's scriptural background for the idea that a saintly person's garments, or the spiritual master, or any great sadhu, or any devotee for that matter, as well as Tulsi Devi and quite a list, long list of those who are considered tadiya. Tadiya, which literally means his, which is his. So the things that Lord Chaitanya was, that Krishna is attached to or has affection for, those things are worshipable. So they said, so give him this. That was Nityananda Prabhu's suggestion. So in the next verse, he said, Tabi Nityananda Goswami Govindira Pash Magya Laila Prabhura Eka Bahirvas. Lord Nityananda Prabhu then obtained an external garment used by the Lord by requesting it from Govinda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Say Bahu. Maybe turn it off. Say Bahirva Sarvabhauma Pashadila Sarvabhauma Se Vastra Rajira Patayila. Thus Nityananda Prabhu delivered the old cloth to the care of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent it to the king. So then we come to the verse today, for today, with the purport. Vastrapanya Rajera Haila Ananditaman Prabhu Rupa Kari Kari Vastrera Pujan. When the king received the old cloth, he began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. Purport. Well, actually, you can repeat this. When the king received the old cloth, he began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. Purport. This is also the conclusion of Vedic injunctions. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Absolute Truth, everything in relation to him is also on the same platform. The king had great affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and although he did not see the Lord, he had nevertheless already attained the conclusion of devotional service. Immediately upon receiving the cloth from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the king began to worship it, accepting it as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord's clothing bedding, slippers, and everything required as an ordinary necessity are all transformations of Shesha, Vishnu, the expansion of Shri Baladev. Thus, the cloth and other paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are but forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything connected to the Lord is worshipable. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us that just as Krishna is worshipable, Krishna's place, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. And as Vrindavan is worshipable, similarly the paraphernalia in Vrindavan, the trees, roads, river, everything is worshipable. A pure devotee thus sings, Jai, Jai, Vrindavan Vasi Yata Jhan. All glories to the residents of Vrindavan. If a devotee has a staunch devotional attitude, all these conclusions will be awakened or revealed within his heart, or within the heart. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata goro, tasyaite katita hyarta, prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.23. Thus, following in the footsteps of Maharaj Prataparudra and other devotees, we should learn to worship everything belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is referred to by Lord Shiva as Tadiyanam. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratarang Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. O Devi, the most exalted system of worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. Greater than that is the worship of Tadiya, or anything belonging to Vishnu. Sri Vishnu is Sachidananda Vigraha. Similarly, the most confidential servant of Krishna, the spiritual master, and all devotees of Vishnu are Tadiya. The Sachidananda Vigraha, Guru, Vaishnavas, and things used by them must be considered Tadiya and without a doubt worshipable by all living beings. So, Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyachari Shatarani. So I researched this project, I researched this topic at some length just to see what Prabhupada had to say about Tadiya. And not only what Prabhupada had to say, but also some other of Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This verse that is cited in the purport is from the Padma Purana, explaining the concept of Tadiya. And so therefore, what I'm going to do is read some selections and then discuss a little bit and then read the next one. That's the way people that are old and have no memory have to operate. So, this first one comes from the Bhagavatam, 7th canto. Pada Sevanam, according to one's taste and strength, hearing, chanting, and remembrance may be followed by Pada Sevanam. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, this can be taken symbolically, this is a comment, and this is not part of the purport. It can be taken symbolically to perform devotional service, or it can be taken literally. The imprints of Krishna's feet are also considered worshipable. So here it says, being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevanam. When one is particularly adherent to the process of padasevanam, this process gradually includes other processes, such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, and Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges or Jamuna. Bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnava are also known as Tadiya Upasanam. Tadiya Upasanam. This is also padasevanam. The word tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. So this is one definition that Prabhupada gives, in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnava, Tulsi, Ganges, and Jamuna are included in padasevanam. So when we say worship the lotus feet, these are all the things that it includes. All these processes of padasevanam help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. So to be very attentive to not only the Vaishnavas and the deities and Tulsi and so many worshipable items is very important for development of spiritual life, a kind of a mood of humility also, a mood of appreciating anything that is loved by the Lord. That's always a key, or you could say an opening to advancement in Krishna consciousness. So now the next little citation, this comes from the 11th canto. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who cannot properly distinguish between devotees and non-devotees, and who therefore never worship the pure devotees of the Lord, are to be known as Kanishta Adhikaris. Sometimes we see that people are very, I guess I'm not being so clear about when I'm deviating from the purport. Not deviating, sorry, adding to, you could say. Sometimes we observe that people are very good at worshiping the deities and the form of Prabhupada, but they tend to push other devotees out of the way or ignore them or step on them. Sometimes in moving around the temple and so forth. So there's a tendency to worship those things which are considered very exalted and kind of dismiss or not take it very seriously, what do they used to say, rank and file devotees, which is a disgusting expression. There's no rank and file devotees. They're all great souls. But they are considered on a lower stage. So Kanishta Adi, now I'm back to the purport. Such Kanishta Adhikaris engage in worship of the Supreme Lord, especially in the temple, but are indifferent to the Lord's devotees. So it's not just me, it's Prabhupada also said. Thus they misunderstand this statement by Lord Shiva in the Padma Purana. So here's that verse again. And the whole concept of Vidya is based on this particular verse from the Padma Purana that Lord Shiva speaks to Parvati. Aradhanam sarveshang Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat paratarang devi tadiyang samarchanam. O Devi, the most exalted system of worship is the worship of Lord Vishnu. Greater than that is the worship of tadiya or anything belonging to Vishnu. Now this is an extraordinary statement if you look at it. It's like saying worship of Vishnu is very important, but it's not as important as worshiping those things which belong to him. And devotees are among those items that belong to him. I shouldn't call them items. Are those personalities that he claims as his own. It's kind of what they say about proprietorship turns sand into gold. So he claims the devotees. Krishna claims devotees. They're mine. So to disrespect means to not understand the importance of worshiping and not only worshiping but respecting other devotees. So it says, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse, Sri Vishnu is Satchidananda Vigraha, Bhavan Brahma Samhita 5.1. Similarly, the most confidential servant of Krishna, the spiritual master, and all devotees of Vishnu are Tadiya. The Satchidananda Vigraha Guru, Vaishnavas, and things used by them must be considered Tadiya and without a doubt worshipable by all living beings. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, today's verse, Madhya Lila 12:38, from the purport. So this is another interesting, all the things that are used by them. Now, sometimes in the early days of the movement, devotees took this a little bit too literally. Prabhupada used to have sometimes he would cough up some unpleasant things that were stuck in his chest, And some of the devotees were capturing these things and then taking them as though they were Mahaprasadam. Prabhupada was kind of amazed by that. He thought, what are you doing? You know, but they were very eager in that respect. So, or else sometimes, you know, they would just gather all kinds of strange things, you know, that Prabhupada either touched or used somehow or expelled. And they thought this was a good idea. But Prabhupada kind of admired their spirit, but not necessarily the practice. So this is from the 7th canto, or 11th canto. Now we move on to another verse. This is from the, this is from the Madhya Lila, also chapter 22, text 124. They're listing some of the devotional practices that they're recommended for everyone. So this is 23 through 30. And the list was: attend arati in festivals, see the deity, present what is very dear to oneself to the deity. Now, in the old days, the hippies used to offer their new clothes to the deities in San Francisco. They would bring their latest, you know, bizarre outfits and offer them to the deities, which is a bit strange, but this was common that they did this. Meditate on the deity and serve those related to the Lord. This is the way this particular practice is called: serve those related to the Lord. So how do you become related to the Lord? It's through devotional service, through the practice of devotional service. So you serve those who are performing that practice. Then another verse, this one is from Madhya Lila, chapter 22 as well. Tadiya tulasi Vaishnava Mathura Bhagavat E charira seva haya krishnera abhimata. Tadiya means the tulsi leaves, the devotees of Krishna, the birthplace of Krishna, Mathura, and the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is very eager to see the devotee serve tulsi, Vaishnavas, Mathura, and Bhagavatam. So all these things are worshipable, as I think everybody's well aware. We're told that they're worshipable. Sometimes we have a hard time treating them as such. I remember when I first came to the temple many years ago, and I saw the devotees dancing around a plant, and I thought they'd lost their minds. But, you know, I mean, it struck us as really strange at the time, but kind of exciting at the same time. You know, in those days, anything that was bizarre or far out, we thought, that's great. If it's great, if it's far out, if it's strange, it must be good. So it worked. Sometimes people are confused by these things, but here it just mentions that these things are all tadiya. And it says Krishna is very eager to see his devotees serve tulsi, Vaishnavas, Mathura, and Bhagavatam. Purport. After item 26, meditation, the 27th is to serve tulsi, the 28th is to serve the Vaishnavas, and the 29th is to live in Mathura, the birthplace of Lord Krishna, and the 30th is to read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Now the next little snippet is from the Nara Bhakti Sutra, Narada Bhakti Sutra. And this gives a sutra. Now, you know, sutras are generally very short, like, Atato Brahma Gigyasa or Ananda Mayobhyasa. Very, very short, just a few words. And here, this is the sutra from the Narada Bhakti Sutra. It says, Yatas tadiya, which literally means because his. That's the explanation. They're his things. They're his persons. They're his possessions. So that's the sutra. It's just two words. Yata tadiya. Very nice, because it's so simple. Pure devotees are not distinguished by externals like social class, for they belong to the Lord. So that's the meaning of the verse. It's not about social class, or not whether you're born in Gujarat or not. Sometimes people dismiss others who are not born in Gujarat, but that's not quite the right idea here. It says that your devotees are not distinguished by externals like social class, for they belong to the Lord. And there's a little purport here. Prabhupada did finish, I don't believe, the Narada Bhakti Sutra, but he had help in finishing this particular shastra. And this is the purport. I believe this was a combination of his purport and Satsarupa Maharaj's purport. So here's what he says. Here Narada explains why one should avoid caste-conscious prejudice toward devotees of Krishna. Because devotees are all one class, they are all his own. And because they belong to the Supreme Lord, Tadiya, the devotees are worshipable. So then he quote the famous verse again from the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva to Parvati. And again, he repeats, of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best, and better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, the Vaishnava. Tadiya means in relation to him. The devotees are intimately related to the Lord because they are under the shelter of his internal energy. Thus, they always accompany him and serve him as his carrier, Garuda, his couch, Anantasesha is his couch. Imagine having a couch called Anantasesha. His cows, his gopas and gopis, and so on. In a general sense, all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, my eternal fragmental parts, Krishna says, and that is another reason why one should not judge someone higher or lower by material standards. This is also a tendency. Less evolved devotees are sometimes critical of a person because of where they're born, what their background is, how much education they have. There are so many ways in which people tend to dismiss or discriminate against devotees, against each other. If you go on the internet, there's some horrendous things going on in terms of Vaishnava aparad, so that needs to be avoided. It says, but although all jivas are dear to Lord Krishna, he is dear only to his devotees, and therefore they receive his special attention. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, Name Vedvesho Stina Priya, Ye Bhajanti Tumang Bhaktya, Mayi Te Teshu Chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. During a conversation with Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya once elaborately explained the same truth expressed in this sutra. Sanatana had contacted a skin disease that produced oozing sores. Some of you, I think most of you are familiar with this story. So out of humility, he considered his body useless for devotional service, and he decided to commit suicide under the wheel of Jagannath's chariot. But Lord Chaitanya read his mind and forbade him to do so, telling him that he had already surrendered his body to the Lord for service. So this was the great defeat of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami when he was giving the opinion that because he's in such a diseased condition, he should throw himself under the wheels of the Jagannath cart, give up his life, because he felt so offensive that Lord Chaitanya was embracing him out of affection, and yet he was oozing, these sores were oozing, and it was getting on Lord Chaitanya's body. So he was very despondent, and he had this idea in his mind, and he had related it to somebody, but Lord Chaitanya found out about it. And so he told him, he turned to Swarup Damodar, if I remember this correctly, and said, What do you think about this person who wants to commit suicide? Although he's offered his body to me, yet he's preparing to commit suicide. So, well, that means that he's trying to destroy the property of another. In other words, Sanatan was already considered by Lord Chaitanya to be his property, and he had service that he wanted to do. So he said, you can't commit suicide. That's mine. That's my body. I have things to do with that body. And he did have a lot for Sanatan Goswami to do. So this is the beauty of... And he was defeated, so he had to accept it. And then Lord Chaitanya finally at one point embraced him, and all of his sores were vanquished. So Lord, it says Lord Chaitanya used to embrace Sanatan, and this made Sanatan feel mortified because his oozing sores touched the Lord's body. And so Sanatan decided to leave Jagannath Puri, but Lord Chaitanya explained that he was not offended by Sanatan's body. Rather, he felt great bliss while embracing Sanatan, because he saw his body as transcendental. So this is a tall order, to see these bodies, because they're used in service, just like we used to give the example all the time in the old days about if you do something in devotion, you become spiritualized. You know, it's accepted that you become, the body becomes considered. That's why when they place the great souls in samadhi, they don't burn the bodies. They actually treat those bodies as transcendental. So then Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse, Vidya Vinaya Sampani, from Gavi Hashtini, Sune Chaiva Sabhaki Pandita Samadarshana. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So when Haridas Thakur heard this quote, when Haridas Thakur heard Lord Chaitanya speak like this, he said, well, what, and he, you know, sometimes devotees used to play, what do they call that? Like a, almost like a sparring partner or a, huh? Devil's advocate. Yeah, that's a good, devil's advocate. Oof. Yeah, sometimes devotees used to play devil's advocate. And so Haridas Thakur here is playing a bit of a devil, like a devil's advocate. He says, oh, what you have spoken deals with external formalities. Lord Chaitanya then revealed his inner thoughts regarding his love for his devotees. My dear Haridas and Sanatan, I think of you as my little boys, to be maintained by me. The maintainer never takes seriously any faults of the maintained. When a child passes stool and urine that touch the body of the mother never hates the child. On the contrary, she takes much pleasure in cleaning him. Is that true? Any mothers here contest it? Is that actually true? No, nobody's saying that is, so I don't know. That's what Prabhupada says. I never thought that, at least. I mean, I'm not a mother, but I used to think, oh, no. But here it says, the stool of and urine of the child appear like sandalwood pulp to the mother. Similarly, that's very high thinking, very high thinking. Similarly, when the foul moisture oozing from the sores of Sanatan touches my body, I have no hatred for him. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila, chapter 4. Lord Chaitanya then further explained the glories of devotional service and how it transforms a devotee's body into spiritual existence. Now, this is interesting, too. There's a verse, and I wish I could remember where in the Bhagavatam, where it describes how the subtle body of living being, by devotional service, the subtle body is dissolved. Actually uses that word, dissolved. Therefore, mind, intelligence, and ego become spiritual, completely spiritual. And originally, mind, intelligence, and ego are all spiritual, but we're covered with material mind, intelligence, and ego. But they become dissolved by this practice of devotional service. So the way he expresses it here, I'll say it again, the glories of devotional service, how it transforms a devotee's body into spiritual existence. In conclusion, the body of a pure devotee is never material. Even if it appears so, Krishna still accepts the devotee as dear and embraces him as his own. By the Lord's mercy, the devotee is spiritualized, and in his transcendental body, he renders service to the Lord's lotus feet. So this is the purport to Narada Bhakti Sutra. So that's Narada's sutras. So this is a commentary on the sutras composed by Narada Muni. Now this next section, this is from the first canto. Well, some of it is anyway, sorry. This is actually from a lecture. This is one of Prabhupada's lectures, excerpt. Maybe this is too much reading, I don't know, but it's not my words, it's his words. So the question was, this is Prabhupada speaking, so the question was, which worship is best? So Lord Shiva replied, Haradhanang Sarveshang Vishnu Haradhanang Param. My dear Parvati, of all methods of worship, Vishnu worship is the topmost. There are many demigods worship, even Lord Shiva's worship, but Lord Shiva says Vishnu worship is the best. And then he says again, Tasmat Paratarang Devi. My dear Devi, better than that, Vishnu worship is Tadiyang Samarchanam. Tadiya. Tadiya means those who are in relationship with Vishnu. Tadiya. Just like his devotee, Tadiya. Tulsi, Tadiya. Tulsi is Tadiya. Or temple, Tadiya. Preaching, Tadiya. Tadiya Anang Samarchanam. This is Bhagavat. So Lord Shiva recommends that of all methods of worship, Vishnu worship is the best, and better than Vishnu worship is the worship is to worship his devotee or things in relationship with him. So I know this is some repetition involved here, but to understand how important devotees are and how important the worship of devotees, the respect of devotees, is extremely. And there's a tendency to become very lax about these things, to be critical of the behavior of devotees. And I know that whenever I used to live in the temple, and I'm sure some of you may have experienced that, there's certain persons that really irritate you. And you sometimes become quite critical, perhaps, of those persons. Maybe not outwardly, which is good, but inwardly you're thinking, those idiots, or something like that. It could be worse or it could be better. So then Prabhupada goes on, Tadiyanam, that is Bhagavat. Here it is also said, Tadiyanam Bhagavat Sevaya. This book, Bhagavat, spoken by the devotee Bhagavat, this should be taken very seriously daily. Otherwise, we do not understand what is Bhagavan. Therefore, it is recommended here, nityam, daily or constantly, 24 hours. We have to mold our life in such a way that 24 hours, not a single moment, leaving aside, we should be engaged in Bhagavat Sevaya, in the service of the Lord's relations. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the spiritual master, Tulsi Devi, the temple, the preaching, the books, they are all Bhagavat. So nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, nasta praeshu. If we engage ourselves in this Bhagavat Sevaya, just like we are doing daily, trying to read one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing amongst ourselves, this is Bhagavat Sevaya, nityam, daily, regularly. By this process, when the dirty things within the heart, nasta praeshu abhadreshu. So this is a lecture given in 1971 in Los Angeles. And there's another little excerpt from Prabhupada's lectures. Unless there's a question about this particular, well, I think we'll wait till the end. Lord Shiva's instruct, this is again Prabhupada speaking in New York in 1972. Lord Shiva's instruction should be taken. He says the best worship is to worship Vishnu, Vishnu Aradhanam Param. When Shiva was asked by Parvati what method of worship is first class, then he said, the first class worship is worshiping Lord Vishnu. So he said that Vishnu, the Vishnu worship is the best. There are many demigods, but he recommended Vishnu worship is the best. And the better than Vishnu worship is the worship Vaishnava. Tadiya means his servant, or one who is or is in relationship with him. Just like we are worshiping this plant, Tulsi. We are not worshiping all plants. It's kind of funny. Because I think at the time, a lot of devotees, even after they'd been in the movement for a while, they still thought of Tulsi worship as being something a bit strange. I mean, I know in India you grow up with it, but those of you who are from India. But in the West, dancing around a plant, worshiping a plant seems a bit odd. So here he says, the way he says it is kind of nice. He says, we are not worshiping all plants, but because this Tulsi has very intimate connection with Krishna and Vishnu. So that's the real essence of Tadiya, that those things which are, that Krishna has affection for, that he has love for, either persons, plants, or even paraphernalia, if they're dear to Krishna, then they become worshipable. So he says, therefore we are worshiping, because we have the intimate connection with Krishna and Vishnu. Therefore we are worshiping. Tadiyanam aradhanam. Similarly, anything that is intimately related with Krishna, worship of that thing is better than worship of Vishnu or Krishna. Now, are everybody holding up all right? What time do I have to stop? Is it 9 o'clock? Okay, I still have a few more minutes. You have to just be patient and tolerant. Being tolerant is very important, by the way. Even tolerant of old people who come to give class and have to read from a script. But this is from the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's an exchange between the two characters. One's called Vijaya, and another one's called Goswami. So Vijaya says, what is Tadiya Vishesha? And Goswami says, Tadiya Vishesha indicates the intimate items of Krishna. Now, this is a nice statement. The intimate items of Krishna that act as catalysts to deepen love for him. So in other words, those things which are connected to Krishna, that he has affection for, that he likes. It says that these items, they act as catalysts. Everybody knows what a catalyst is, I think. So it's a catalyst that deepens love for Krishna. So, for example, Padanka, the site of the impression of Krishna's lotus feet within Sri Vrindavan Dham, Goshta, that Krishna roams and pastures the cows only within the limits of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and his Tadiya Priyajana, beloved persons, refer to those who permanently exchange deep loving emotions with Krishna. So those great personalities, Vrajvasis, but even the cows and the trees and the plants, and they are all beloved by Krishna. So they are worshipable. Now this last one, I just have one more, so you can be relieved. Then we'll have some questions. And apparently the microphone to be passed around is out of, what is it they call it? Out of something. But I was joking with somebody before him, and he informed me confidentially that microphone doesn't work. But it's funny in a way, because quite a few people are listening from home, so they can't hear the questions. So either I'll have to repeat them, or I'll take this one and pass it around. You might have to come up front to ask a question. Anyway, this next section, though, that I want to read is from a book by Mahanidhi Swami, who lives in Radhakund, I believe. I don't know if he still does, but I think he does. And he wrote something about Tadiya, which I found this section quite interesting. He says, there's something called the Smriti Samadhi, a memory samadhi. Although not specifically mentioned in the Shastras, it become a tradition. The word Smriti means memory. A Smriti Samadhi preserves the memory of a great Vaishnava by enshrining some of his personal items. So it can be things that belong to that Vaishnava. Just like you see a lot of Prabhupada disciples, a piece of his cloth or a shoe or something like that, things that he used, even, I mean, I think some people even saved his toothbrushes or various items, all kinds of things. I can't even think of them all right now, but lots of things that he used were preserved and are on a lot of people's altars. But anyway, he goes on to say they actually have samadhis full of these kind of items. And it says, objects used by a spiritually advanced soul are accepted as pure and worshipable, but the personal effects of an ordinary man are contaminated and usually burned or thrown away after his death. The tradition of building smriti samadhis originated with the idea that any object associated with an elevated Vaishnava becomes surcharged with the spiritual energy of that person. So that's the way that people view it, that whatever they use, it has some of that potency of that person, some of the spiritual potency. Although it is generally thought that Smriti Samadhis sprang from tradition and not scripture, research proves otherwise. Then he again cites this verse from Padma Purana. In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, as you know, I won't repeat it again, but that these things are worshipable. This is a statement by Lord Shiva. So the category of Tadiya mentioned above includes deity forms of Lord Vishnu, the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, and all things used by them, such as their asanas, japa beads, shastras, clothes, shoes, walking sticks, and so on. According to Padma Purana, these articles are worshipable by all living beings. Similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that upon receiving a bahirvas, outer garment worn by Lord Chaitanya, King Prataparudra began worshiping exactly as he would worship the Lord. So we're back to King Prataparudra now. And this is the Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, when he took Babaji initiation, or what it was considered sannyas in those days. But when he took initiation, he wanted to take initiation from Jagannath Das Babaji for the renounced order. But Jagannath Das Babaji had already left this world. So he asked Gaur Kishore, who was supposed to be his disciple, but as a Shiksha disciple. So, but he asked Gaur Kishore, please, you give me. So they got the garments, the old garments of Jagannath Das Babaji, and he wore those. He was granted those garments, which he considered worshipable and holy, when he took sannyas. So we see the example of King Prataparudra, we see the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur here. As the body of a Vaishnava is worshipped, his spiritually charged possessions can also be consecrated in the earth of a holy place. Then a Smriti Samadhi Mandir is built to facilitate worship and remembrance. Within a Smriti Samadhi, one may find practically anything connected with the Vaishnava, including his hair, tooth, clothes, shoes, walking stick, eyeglasses, neck beads, finger rings, photographs, or earth from his birthplace. Near Srila Jiva Goswami's samadhi in Radhadamodar temple, there is a Jushti samadhi, a stick samadhi, containing the walking stick of a Vaishnava. In olden times, while traveling on pilgrimage, a Vaishnava was sometimes attacked and eaten by a tiger. Since the body was gone, the disciples or relatives might establish a Smriti Samadhi to commemorate the devotee. In Kathwa, West Bengal, there is Acacia Samadhi containing the transcendental hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they have a samadhi with a little of the hair of Lord Chaitanya. And it was the hair from shaving his head at his sannyas initiation. In Vrindavan, the tooth of Sri Gadadhar Pandit receives regular worship in his danta samadhi. You know, the word dentist comes from danta. So there's a danta samadhi, pretty extraordinary samadhi, the tooth of a great soul. I mean, some people have collected Prabhupada's teeth as well, and they are considered worshipable. Okay, so I'm finished. If there are any questions, I'll try to answer them. Yes. Oh, now, you want to speak in this so that people otherwise can hear you? If I can.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for your extensive research on this topic. It's very enlightening. Just a corollary to this, I want to clarify one point. You've quoted so many places that Mahaprabhu says that you're my body to the devotees. In relation to practicing devotee like myself, if I consider that, okay, I'm also a devotee, then I should be looking after my body as a... So the whole principle here is of stewardship, taking care, rather than proprietor or enjoyer, because we're using the body itself in the service of the Lord. So if this applies to us as well, then we should be looking into our bodies, which are meant to be used for Krishna's service, as some kind of something which belongs to the Lord. So we should be looking after it, rather than getting a cliched verse that I'm not the body, and misidentifying with it, really. So I just want to clarify on that.
Yeah, are you going to be my mic man then? Okay. I think that, this is an important point. Well, first of all, if we actually... Sometimes, out of humility, a devotee may think that his body is not worth anything in terms of the actual service of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. Generally, we think of ourselves as servants of our spiritual master. That's a little more within reach because we can actually speak to them and be instructed by them. So in that sense, if we actually develop that mentality of seeing the body as an instrument that another can use to accomplish his service to his spiritual master and to his service to Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, that's the right attitude. But, of course, we know that most of the time we're thinking my body and we're not thinking of this instrument that's used for Krishna's service. We tend not to think that. That's just our conditioning. But that is the right attitude, definitely, to think of it as an instrument for... So, anybody else? All the way in the back? Yeah? Okay. Will it go that far?
I think so. Just a short question, Rupert. What's at root of the rank and file? What's at root that's going on there that we have all these behaviors? Just
to that expression? What's the root of that expression?
No, to elaborate the anatta, the issues.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. So, rank and file, that's an unpleasant expression. It's sort of more commonly used in business practice or in politics, especially. They talk about rank and file devotees, or rank and file citizens. So it's a wrong idea. We should be honoring devotees, always honoring, respecting. This is the proper mood. That's really all I have to say about it. Okay, we have one other question in the back. Ladies, anything? No? Okay.
I always use Bhagavad Gita as a nice reference. If I can just get to it. Here it is. It says, just trying to learn the truth from the spiritual master. Because I haven't got my glasses on. Inquire from him.
You can get that screen to go next to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you? For he has seen the truth. Sorry, he says, and the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you, for they have seen the truth. It's having obtained this knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never again fall into illusion, for by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are part of the Supreme, or in other words, they are mine.
Thank you for your interesting class. Here's my question. You've given quotes that there are many meanings to Tadiya, but it's interesting that this Padma Purana verse, Prabhupada really always quotes Tadiya. He gives one particular meaning, the devotees. And I'm wondering if there's any sort of significance to this. Does Prabhupada consider, of all the Tadiya, the devotees is the most important? Or, because I don't know why he's always translating it in that way.
I'm not sure I can answer that question authoritatively, but that's the thing that we tend to fall down on, is critical of devotees, critical of Vaishnavas. So I think that he mentions them, but in the things that I read, he also mentioned Tulsi, he mentioned the items used by a Vaishnava, so many things were mentioned as Tadiya. But the reason that I think the devotee comes up again and again is because that's the most dangerous type of disrespect, most dangerous kind of offense. I don't know anything beyond that. I think our time is now up. Can you make this announcement? We have a little announcement.